Become the gold to buy me gone. Amen. So God knows. Amen. Amen. God knows. It didn't catch him by surprise. So keep your eyes on Jesus. We're going to dismiss the children. Amen. So they can go learn of God. Amen. Together in their way. Amen. For kids, what we call kids ministries. Amen. And we're going to get our minds right and ready. The atmosphere is set already. Amen. Amen. I'm going to cry now. The word of God is coming forth. The atmosphere is set. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here.
Amen.
I can feel it in the atmosphere. Amen. We're going to greet our pastor. Amen. One mind, one accord, one voice. We're going to greet our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord.
Is it well with my soul? Jesus asked the question. He said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? And then he put it from a different perspective. He said, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? So our soul today is the most important thing. And as it serves, continue to ask yourself, is it well with my soul? Amen. But we do bless the Lord. We thank God. Amen. For everyone that's here, we thank God for all of Sister Jasmine's family that are here and celebrate Gio's graduation as well as birthday. Amen. We just bless the Lord for seeing them. Thank God for seeing Brother Mackey, always born in Georgia. Amen. Brother Mackey got baptized when he was past his young years. We will leave it at that. Amen. But he's been faithful. Every summer that he returns, he's here, and we just thank God. Continue to be faithful to God. Amen. That's the most important thing. Faithfulness to God is what counts. We thank God for my wife being here, amen, supporting all that beautiful purple and that thing, and we just bless the Lord. We thank God for that. We thank God for all of you. Give yourself a hand of praise. Give yourself a hand of praise. Amen. You could have been anywhere today but the house of God. You know, even as they were singing all of the wonderful songs of Zion, one of the things that kept going through my mind is on June 3rd, this Sunday, June 3rd, thank God for saying about Chris. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's a tough schedule, but we glad you can make it when you can make it. Yeah. Amen. But on Sunday, June 3rd, the message we started dealing with, and it's been like a continuation, has been in the prophetic moment. Amen. In the non-prophetic moment, I know most of the time we are prophetic, we say, oh, what kind of house am I going to get? What kind of car am I going to get? Right? We think of material things when we think of prophetic. But I said, the Lord will not deal with me concerning material things, but more a cleansing of our souls. How many want their souls to be cleansed? Now, if you don't want your soul to be cleansed, the Bible says only the pure in heart will see. You can't go to heaven if your soul ain't cleansed. Amen. So it's so important that your soul is cleansed. So we've been dealing with a prophetic moment. We dealt with that for 2 weeks in a row, and I said, don't be surprised at what happens. Amen. Prophetic, when God's giving a prophetic moment, there's a warning. He's issuing a warning that you need to change. And it's so important because the scripture said, God seeth not as man seeth. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at our heart. Amen. You can fake it to man, but you can't fake it with God. So today is so important that it's well with our souls. And guess the only one that can discern whether it's well with your soul is God. Jesus said, don't fear man who's able to destroy the body. But fear him who's able to destroy both the body and soul in hell, and that is God. So today we have a lot of people that are walking around in fear. No, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am
a child of God.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. We just bless the Lord for that. We just thank God for all that he's doing. Here, the most important thing, amen, in dealing with the people of God, is we just want to make sure it's well with your soul. Sometimes we develop a vindictive spirit to try to get back at people. when the Bible said, vengeance belongs, the Lord said, vengeance belongs to me, what? Said the Lord. And God said, not only does it belong to me, but he said, I will repay. So today it is so important. We know us better than anybody else knows us. We know our ups, we know our downs. We know whether we've been living holy, we know we've been living unholy. And as we said last week, we know if we've been walking with God and holding him with the devil. Right? Today is all about being free. How many want to really be free? Come on, how many want to be free? If you want to be free, then you need to be a child of God. Amen. And to be a child of God, Jesus said you must be born again. How? Of the water and the spirit. Amen. So it's so important to be a child of God. You need to hold baptism. But let us stand at this time. Amen. We're going to read from Psalms 16, the 16th division of Psalms. No longer a slave with fear. I am a child. How many can really say that from their soul? Amen. The Bible said, where there's fear, there is torment. If you're tormented, you have fear. To get rid of that torment, you have to be free. And the Bible says, the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is God will free you. And he said, Jesus said, he whom the Son set free. Robin, he whom the Son set free is free indeed. Fear would try to tell you whether those addictions are they coming back. Speak to those addictions and say, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Jesus set me free every time. Because how many know the devil's never convinced? Hallelujah. He's never convinced that we are sold out to God. So he keeps coming back over and over again. But you can make a choice to be a child of God. So we're going to read Psalm 16, verses 7 through 11. Amen? Amen. Verse 7 reads, I will
bless the Lord.
How many really going to do that? I will. I will bless the Lord, who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have said the Lord, Lord, I bless you. I don't send you before you when I feel like it. I don't send you before me when things are good. But I said the Lord, always before me, because he is in mine, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall. I'm going to rest in hope. There's a whole lot of people in hope, but they don't have no rest. Oh, Lord, but when God is with you, when you set the Lord before you always, you rest in hope. Everybody else is tormented. Well, how do you know God will keep you in perfect peace? For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see. So if the psalmist said he won't leave my soul in hell, then you're the head. Then you're the head.
Come on.
Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Lord, let me get there. Lord, let me find it. Lord, let me find that secret place. In thy presence is the shall not How many want to be free?
Yeah.
And it's a bad situation when you are free but you're still bound. That's bad. When you're free and you're still bound. I saw a cartoon illustration once, and the prisoner, they found out that he was not guilty and he was released. And they released him, they sent him outside the gate to be free. So he was free. And the guard asked him, if you're free, why do you keep trying to get back in the place they had you back? Think about that. God has set you free. Why are you trying to get back in the place that had you back? I'm just so glad that we know the Lord for ourselves. So our thought is actually going to come out of this 11th verse. Amen. We could get thoughts out of each one of these verses. And one of the greatest thoughts, if I had a second thought with, is I shall not be moved. How many want to be like that? I shall not be moved. We used to sing a song, Jesus is my Savior. I'm in his loving favor. I'm like a tree that's planted by water, and I shall not be moved. But we're not going to use that. Verse 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. So our message today is, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. Now, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is dependent upon your circumstances. When everything is well, I am happy. When everything I want, I am happy. Even when things are because they're dependent upon the outward appearance, our outward circumstances, when things go bad, I am not happy. But joy is not dependent upon happiness, upon your outward circumstances. Joy is dependent upon knowing who God is. Amen. And let me go to Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. And I was reading in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, and it was, I've always read this verse, and I'm sure many of us have already read it. All of us have read this verse many times, verse 10, amen. It said, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. So we read that joy, and unfortunately many times even in church we think we're talking about our personal joy. But God was speaking deeper than that. Amen. The word for joy is hedva. Hedva means joy or gladness. Now, when it comes to this type of joy and gladness, the Bible only uses this word for joy and gladness two times in the whole Bible. Right? Hedva is only used two times in the whole Bible, here in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, the 10th verse, and also in 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 27th verse. We'll read that. So hedva, joy, gladness, not what we think of joy. Not the type of gladness that we think of, right? So when he uses this word, he brings us into another spiritual dimension. Amen. It's not what we're normally used to. So the 27th verse of 1 Chronicles 16 says, glory and honor. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. This word gladness is the second time that he uses hedva. So hedva is only, it's a Hebrew word, hedva is only used two times in scripture. So as I was studying hedva, don't you want to know what hedva means? I wanted to know what hedva means. Why did God, now how many know there's a whole lot of joy in the Bible? But for some reason, God only uses this term for joy two times. And this term for joy is for hepha, means to actually be in the presence of God. That's what it means. It means to be in God's presence. So hepha, let me just read you this. Hepha is a noun derived from the verb hegah. The consonants are chet, dalet, and he. And you all know those that were in Wednesday night Bible class, we went over the fact that the original Hebrew language was in pictographs, like hieroglyphics. You know, if you ever see old pictures from way back in the beginning, everything was done in picture form. That was their language. So the word hada is chet, dalet, and he. The picture is of Chet is a fence, all right? This is what God is saying. So it's a fence, it's Chet. Dalet is a door. So you got a door in the fence, all right? Door, and he is behold or look. So when God uses his word joy, hepha, he said, behold, look, there's a door in the fence. Well, what's the door in the fence doing? The door in the fence is opening up a way for us to get into the presence of God. So this joy is not like the other joys. This joy ushers us into the presence of God. Can we say hallelujah? All right, so now once again, it is of providing a door in the fence, a path for coming into his presence. What cheers our Lord is a door for us to get to him. So that's the joy that he's speaking about. Not the joy that's dependent upon outside circumstances. Not the joy that's dependent on everything that's going well. But the joy that the Lord is talking about is the joy for the door that he provides for us to get into presence. Then when we walk, listen, how many know if you got a door, you got to run and walk to the door, right? Nobody can make you walk to the door. In the Revelation, it said Jesus is standing at the door and he's knocking. But the only way that Jesus can get into the door of your heart is you got to let him in, right? So this joy is a door. And you know what I like about God? Just don't be so reminded of God. God said not doors, but a door. Just like the ark, it had a door that was on the side, there was only one way in, and there's only one way out. And the book of John said, Jesus said, I am the way. That's in the 14th and 10th chapter. He said, I am the door. Right? So we're trying to get into the presence. You got to go through the door. And move the door. Jesus is the door. Now, if we go back to our text, which was from Psalm 16, verse 7, so in his presence is a fullness of joy, right? But this, if you really want to interpret it correctly, it means when you get to God's presence, there's abundant joy with this. When you get in God like you ought to be, you don't just have a single joy. Amen. But when you get into the presence of God like you ought to be, if the world around me is falling down, I still got joy. When you get in God like you ought to, when everything is not going well, I still got joy. They used to have a song that said, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Does anybody want that kind of joy? You can't get that joy anywhere but in God's presence. So a lot of people are running from church to church and trying to find out what's the problem. The problem is God has given you a door, but you gotta go through the door. You gotta go through the door. Not just this temporary joy, not just temporary happiness, but joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then as I was reading this, now y'all know I don't like to just read and not look at this. So right after he said, in his presence is the fullness of joy. Now they say, they put a word in there that has no meaning. I don't even know if God doesn't put took words that don't have meanings. Right? We went over this in Wednesday night Bible class. So he puts in, right after, in his presence is the fullness of joy, he puts in E.T. Y'all remember E.T., right? E.T. means Aleph Taf. It means beginning and end. It means first and last. And if you read in Isaiah, it says, the Lord our God is the first and he is. Then you go to Revelation and Jesus said, I am the first and I am the last. I'm the beginning and the end. In Hebrew, it's the Aleph, Taf, first, last. In Greek, it is the Alpha, the Omega, but it's still the first and the last. Right? So in right after getting into God's presence, he puts in E.T. Right? And then now the translator said, E.T. has no meaning. But the Hebrews understand E.T. because E.T. is the Aleph Taf. Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is represented by an ox head, which means thumb. That's Aleph. Right? Then it has the Taf. The Taf is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is recognized by the covenant, which is the cross. So what the E.T. means is the head is God. And the end is Jesus. The head is God, and the end is Jesus. So in essence, what he's saying is this. If the fullness of joy is God in the face of Jesus Christ. So if you want joy, you've got to go through. And who's the door?
Jesus.
Somebody say, well, I don't believe that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Amen. Before we, it's so good to know how you need to get joy. Anybody want real joy?
Yeah.
When you got real joy, nobody can turn that on and turn that off. When you got real joy, when everybody else is acting up, I still got joy. In the nation, you sing old song, joy bells keep ringing. Joy bells keep ringing in my soul. Now, there's other kind of joy don't get in your soul. It just get in your flesh. But when you get the joy bell from being in God's presence in the face of Jesus Christ, it gets down in your soul. Then when it gets in your soul, when everybody else is messing around and acting up, you said, I got joy in this spirit. And it's full of glory. Hallelujah. People don't want to talk to me and mistreat me, but I still got joy. And it's full of glory. Hallelujah. The joy. In the end, there's Jesus. So Paul is telling them, go back to the beginning. Because we are not Hebrew, we don't understand the greatness of God. We don't understand the mind of God. But Paul is saying, you've got to go back to the beginning. When else did God command light to shine out of darkness? Because in Genesis, the third verse of the first chapter says, God said, let there be light. The second verse said, and the earth was void, and there was darkness on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the water, and God said, let there be light. So God commanded to, oh, thank you. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and that he is shining to our hearts. That same God that had the power to speak the world of Jesus. I said,
change. Every time I get to this point, I go down deeper into
So now he has to play with your mind.
Yes, Jesus.
Because when he plays with your mind, you can't get into his presence. And then when he's playing with your mind, instead of things getting better, they get 10 times worse. And you say, well, what happened? The devil is playing with your mind.
Right.
And he knows, as long as I can hold your coattail, as long as I can hold you back, you can't get into God's presence, so you don't have joy. Now joy, I don't care how much you smile on the outside. Joy is something that takes place on the,
come on.
On the inside. We got joy. You know, everybody can be acting up all around you, still be able to sing the songs of Zion. I still be able to praise the Lord. I still be able to thank him. Why? Because I know I can get into his presence. Then when I get into the presence, then the joy of the Lord becomes mine. Somebody said, how did you make it through that? Because I got into his presence. And once I got into his presence, the joy of the Lord became my strength. And then in the 25th chapter of Matthew, just in short, they give a parable of a man that gave 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. The one that had 5 talents, double the 5. That means when you're in church, you got to do something. The one that had 2 talents, double the 2 talents. So that means when you're in church, you got to, now we know it's all about money, all right? But it's also can be equated to what you do in church. The one that had 2 talents, double the 2. Now the one that doubled the 5 and the one that doubled the 2, he said, well done, thy good and enter now into the joy. You can think God is blessing you, maybe you gotta enter into his. You can enter into his presence.
Oh yes.
Because you've been faithful. Yes. Now the one that had the 1 talent didn't want to do anything but just come to church and sit down and nothing else. He buried his talent. He did not have his talent become fruitful and to multiply. And the Lord said, he shall be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you don't know where that is, go to Revelation. That's the last day. So the question that we want to answer today, are we going to be like the 5 talents or the 2 talents, or will we be like the 1? Only those that were actively involved in church entered into the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is his. So a lot of us are miserable because we have not yet found the presence of God. You want real joy? You want joy that the world can't take from you? You want joy that circumstances and trials can't take from you? You want joy that headaches and all other stuff can't take from you? Then learn to get into God's presence. And once you get into his presence, you say, I have joy unspeakable and amen. The joy that God gives us is abundant joy. God gives us the fullness of joy. And my question today is, how many of you got joy but it's not full? How many have joy but it's not full? When you get to his presence, not only get joy, but you get pleasures.
Forevermore.
I mean, we don't have to be, how many of you, who's not, you don't have to be a genius to answer this. How many wants pleasures forever?
Amen.
Now we're not talking about all this sensual, fleshly pleasures. We're talking about pleasures that can only come from God. There are pleasures in sin. Because Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the
pleasures.
So there are pleasures. But there's a difference between the pleasure of sin and the pleasure of God. Because the only way you get the pleasure of God is you got to learn to get into his presence. You understand? Now, we all, just a moment, finish. Now, we know that you can, anything can come to God's presence. Amen? When Adam and Eve went in the garden, they were in God's
presence.
He walked through the day, he talked to them. They could just talk to God anytime. But then once they committed sin, God said, you cannot be in this holy place. Right? You can't be in this holy place where I am because sin separates from God. So the Bible said God anybody. They just disobey God. And well, people say this, forget about what people say. Because people can't give you joy. People can give you temporary happiness. But look at somebody and say, only God.